today in Brussels, Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson warned that SARS cases could rise again across the United States and Europe during flu season later this year. He made the pronouncement even as most outbreaks worldwide are diminishing. Lower infection rates are due in part to aggressive quarantines imposed by some governments. Those quarantines remind commentator Desiree Cooper of this family story.
In 1941, it didn't take a health professional to tell my grandmother Betty that something was very wrong with my grandfather Junius. Nothing would shake his cough, not kerosene and honey, not cherry bark tea, or even the mustard salves she rubbed on his chest. Then she had a dream. "Don't feed the children from his plate," a voice warned Betty. And from then on, she kept Junius's dishes separate, letting them soak between meals in a tub of bleach. Weeks later, when the health worker finally arrived, she remarked that this small act may have saved the children's lives. Junius was diagnosed with tuberculosis. In rural Virginia in the 1940s, there were few sanatoriums where the highly contagious patients could go away to heal. Fewer still were the places that would accept poor black patients. Instead, the county supplied a makeshift hut where Junius would be quarantined in his own backyard. Junius moved into the hut in the fall of 1941. Betty had them put it right outside her bedroom so that they could talk at night through the windows. The two children were discouraged from visiting their father, so they left his meals by the hut door. My mother was only about 8, but she still remembers sitting in the outhouse listening to the terrible roar of her father's cough. Junius was known to party as hard as he worked. At first, he had a steady stream of visitors, but after a while, the visitors stopped coming. It was too painful to see such a gregarious man caged behind his own house. As he sat in isolation, he became weak and pliable. He took whatever kindness was offered and rarely rang the bell on his nightstand. He spent most of his days sleeping and coughing. There were clues that sometimes he crept back into the house when no one was there. An empty shot glass, a missing baked sweet potato, the radio switched to a different station. He had become a ghost in his own haunting. Fall gave way to winter. One February night, while the children slept, Junius promised Betty that when he got better, he would buy her rubies and pearls. She waved her hand and scoffed. "Just you get better," she said. "Just get better." She noticed a longing in his voice she'd not heard since the quarantine began. "Shug, can I stay in the house tonight?" he asked. "No, Daddy," she said. "You know you can't come in here with the children." The next day, Betty went to the colored elementary school to pick up the family's war rations. On the way home, Betty stopped at the general store, and that's when the store owner told her, "Junius done gone and killed himself." It was the children who'd found their daddy after school, sprawled on the cot in his hut, a gunshot wound to the head. Perhaps the isolation had been too humiliating, the recovery too long in coming. Before the funeral, health workers came and scrubbed the hut with disinfectant, then loaded it back onto a truck. No doubt, another family would soon need it. My mother swears that from that day forward, the grass in that spot in the backyard stayed green all year round.
Desiree Cooper is a columnist for the Detroit Free Press.